Okay, last time we're learning Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. We were learning about, we learned about the dinim of tekiyas, why we blow all the tekiyas, and the importance of the tekiyas shofar during musaf blowing, during musaf. As we mentioned, there's different customs. Many, many people do not blow in the quiet musaf on Rosh Hashanah. They just blow in the repetition. Our custom, many, many people, especially according to Kabbalah, you blow during the quiet one and during the repetition. We learned because then you have the 100 sounds of the shofar and so on and so forth. Okay, as far as on the first day, there's a custom after mincha, before shkia, to go what's called the tashlich. Tashlich is basically, again, not that we're throwing the sins to the fish, that's the Baba Maisa. Yes, it says in the Pasuk, V'sashlech v'mtzulis yom kochateisam, that you throw to the depth of the ocean to see all your sins, but you don't throw the sins to the fish. You don't throw the sins in the water either. The reason why we go to Tashlich is, says the Shulchan Aruch, we go to a place where there's fish, because fish multiply a lot. You know, there's fish multiply a lot. And the reason why they multiply a lot, it says in Torah, because they're concealed by the water, they're covered by the water, and therefore they don't get ayin haras, because nobody can see them, because they're covered by the water. And therefore they multiply tremendously. So therefore we go to Tashlich, is basically we're saying, Hashem should help us to multiply in good deeds, and in good health, and good everything, without an ayin hara like the fish. Okay, not done. Okay, then you have Maariv the second night. Now, other thing is like this. What? Hava Negila?
Hava Negila.
Ne'ila, we got time for that. Now, generally speaking, there's in Israel, there's one day Yom Tov. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, we have 2 days Yom Tov. Why? Because we don't know. In the time of the pre-Gemara, by the way, they didn't know what day Rosh Chodesh could be. Rosh Chodesh could be one day or the next, and they didn't know, so therefore, out of doubt, they would keep 2 days Yom Tov. Now, what happened was, initially, we learned this in the past. Initially, when Beis Din proclaimed the new moon, meaning the next day would be Rosh Chodesh, or that day would be Rosh Chodesh, initially, the Gemara says, Beis Din lit torches on big mountains, and the next mountain oversaw the torches, and they would light torches, and that mountain would light torches. Eventually, the whole Eretz Yisrael was able to see when Beis Din proclaimed Rosh Chodesh. The problem was there were a lot of troublemakers that would light the torches on the wrong day, just for the fun of it. So Beis Din used to send out shluchim by horse, not horse and buggy, by horse, to tell all the places where there were Jews, tell them which day was Rosh Chodesh. In Eretz Yisrael, they were able to reach with by the time the 15th day came around, because that's when you have to know Pesach, Sukkot, and so on. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, the messengers weren't always able to get there. First of all, it took a long time to get there. Secondly, there were not places where Jews existed. Very few Jews existed, so they didn't go out to those small communities. So then people would keep 2 days. But in Eretz Yisrael, they kept 1 day. What's interesting is, in Eretz Yisrael, even today, they have 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Even though if you look in the Chumash, the biblical Rosh Hashanah is 1 day. Why do they keep 2 days in Eretz Yisrael for Rosh Hashanah also? So the answer is very simple. When Beis Din proclaimed Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah, that day became Yom Tov. If it became Yom Tov, the riders couldn't go out to tell the people anywhere that it was Rosh Chodesh. So the people in Yerushalayim would know, basically, around the Beis HaMikdash, they would know. But everybody else in Tel Aviv, in Hebron, I mean, all those places, there was no way they would know because they couldn't go out in Yom Tov. You're not allowed to ride a horse on Yom Tov. So therefore, even in Eretz Yisrael, they kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Even then, out of doubt. So therefore, even today, Rosh Hashanah, they follow the tradition of keeping 2 days Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says that really, sometimes even in the Beis HaMikdash, they kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, they kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara tells Radan Shechner also, the Gemara says like this, It happened one year. Normally, the witnesses would see the moon at night, and they would come early the next day to Beis Din. Beis Din would, in the morning, already proclaim Rosh Chodesh and not Rosh Chodesh. The witnesses didn't come, it wasn't. One time, the witnesses were very delayed, and they came late in the afternoon. And they already brought the afternoon korbanos, which was a weekday korban because it wasn't Yom Tov. Then the witnesses popped in. So now Beis Din was faced with a dilemma, even in the Beis HaMikdash. So Beis Din ruled that year and for all future years that because the witnesses came after Mincha time, the rest of that day would remain holy, but the real Rosh Hashanah was the next day. So even in the Beis HaMikdash, they sometimes kept 2 days. So therefore, now the question is like this. Every day, every Yom Tov, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we make Shechyonu on both days, because we don't know which is the real day. Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, and it's not for now, is like one long day. It's not 2 days. Like the first day Pesach, second day Pesach, first day Sukkot, second day Sukkot. It's 2 different days. So each day you make a Shechyonu. In Halacha it says, Rosh Hashanah is Yema Arichta, means it's a long 1 day. So now the question is, practically speaking, do you make a Shechiyonu on the second night of Rosh Hashanah? If it's one long day, the 48 hours, then you don't make a Shechiyonu, middle of the day, basically. So now the question is, what do you do on Rosh Hashanah? Do you make a Shechiyonu the second night, or don't you make a Shechiyonu the second night? So, one second. There's an argument in Halacha. And the halacha is as follows. The halacha is, you do make Shechiyonu the second night of Rosh Hashanah. You do. Both nights of Rosh Hashanah you say Shechiyonu. But, so to speak, to play it safe, that when the woman lights Shabbos, Yom Tov candles, and she's making Shechiyonu, she should either wear a new dress or have a new fruit. You know, that you would have to make a Shechiyonu on the new fruit. To have it in mind, at the time she lights candles. The man, when he makes Kiddush, at the time he makes Shechiyonu on the Kiddush, the second night, you look at the new fruit, and you have in mind that the Shechiyonu is also going on the new fruit. But halacha is, if you don't have a new fruit, you still say Shechiyonu the second night. What?
In what way is it one long day? Homiletically or halachically?
No, halachically. No, halachically it's one day. Has to do with dead bodies, has to do with a lot of things, but a lot of issues.
Why is it one
month? Okay, it's not enough. It's very long. So anyway, so now you have, so we do make a Shechiyonu. Okay, so now you make it, the woman lights Yom Tov candles, she makes Shechiyonu having in mind the new fruit. The man makes Kiddush, has in mind the Shechiyonu fruit. Now when do you eat the Shechiyonu fruit? The first night we learned, you eat the apple dipped in honey after you wash for Hamaitzi. But here, we want to do it as soon as possible that to the Shechiyonu that we made. So therefore, what do? Right after Kiddush, you made the Shechiyonu. Before you wash for Hamaitzi, you eat the new fruit. If you have one, you eat the new fruit before Hamaitzi.
You make the Shechiyonu before you make the fruit?
No. You make Shechiyonu by Kiddush. And you have in mind, it's going for the new fruit. So therefore, when you eat, right after Kiddush, you eat the new fruit.
Before you wash.
So then the Shechiyonu is going on the new fruit. So therefore, we don't wash first, because that's a long break then between the Shechiyonu and actually eating the fruit. So we eat the fruit, before washing for Hametzi. So now the question is, how much of the new fruit do you have to eat? So it's a lot of different customs. Technically, you're only doing it for a Shechiyonu. You can eat a small amount of the fruit, and that's it. Then you don't make an after brach on the fruit, and then you just go wash and continue your meal. Many people have a custom, that's Chabad custom, that we eat a kezayis of the Shechiyonu fruit. We eat an ounce of the Shechiyonu fruit. We make an after bracha only on the fruit, not on anything else, not on the wine we drank. We make an after bracha on the fruit. We go wash, and then it's normal. The rest of the meal is normal. What?
So there's no bracha on the fruit itself?
You make haetz on the fruit.
Is that before Shechiyonu or after?
No. You made a Shechiyonu by Kiddush.
Okay.
Now you go sit down and eat the fruit.
Okay.
So you make haetz. if that's what it is, right? But you don't have to make a Shechianu again. You just had a Shechianu. You just made a Shechianu.
But the Shechianu was for the occasion, not for the new food.
Yeah, but you have in mind, kill two birds with one stone. That in case, what's the accomplishment of that? In case the Yom Tov doesn't demand the second day, does not demand the Shechianu, so you're saying it on the new fruit. But halachically, even if you don't have a new fruit, you still make a Shechianu on the Yom Tov itself. What's the minig?
They say Hamatzi, and then they say different...
That's the first night. We're talking now the second night. So again, I don't know what the Sephardic customs are. I told you, we are learning Chabad customs. In Chabad, like all these things we eat for the apple and the pomegranate is only the first night. We don't do it the second night. The only thing we eat the second night is the Shechianu before. And generally speaking, as we learn many times, the beauty of Judaism is that there's so many different traditions. Beautiful music cannot be from one instrument. You need a bunch of instruments blending together in harmony. What?
You have to play in harmony. You have to acknowledge and know what the other guy plays next.
Yeah, but sometimes the instruments are contrasting instruments. Sometimes they're contrasting instruments. You have a picture. You can't have a beautiful painting with one color. You need many colors blending together in harmony. If they don't blend together in harmony, you have ugly art. If every guy in the symphony is not synchronized, you'll have one big headache. So that's why. That's why in Judaism, the uniqueness of Judaism is that we blend together in harmony. We respect each other's traditions, even though mine's are right and yours are not. But we still respect you. I mean, you're wrong, but we respect it.
Yeah, sure.
That's the way Jews work.
It's important not to say, well, I don't know anything about it, I don't care, or I don't know. I mean, as a teacher, as a scholar, you have to know, as the master orchestrator, you know, you have to know different instruments and how...
There's a lot of different... Harmony. You're right. There's a lot of different customs. But if you have any idea how many different customs there are for every aspect in Judaism... But sometimes it's brought down in Sfarim, a very interesting, in Halacha it's brought down, in Halacha Sfarim it's brought down that the word Minhag is the same letters as Gehenom. A certain tradition, certain Minhag people have, it's like Gehenom, it's wrong. So, but a lot of customs and traditions came about from ignorance. No, you see that in a lot of issues, you hear, some people say, if a knife became treif, bury it in the ground for a day. You ever hear that?
Yes.
You bury it in the ground? That is not a minig, it's not a halacha, it's complete illiteracy. What the halacha is, to give an example of how people make a mistake, if you cut a cold block of cheese, with a meat knife. Now it's not hot, right? Heat causes absorption, not cold. So if I cut a cold block of cheese with a clean fleshic knife, okay? Now, what do I do with that knife to kosher it? I don't have to pour boiling hot water over it because it didn't become absorbed with heat. But there was pressure from the cutting of the hard block of cheese that goes into the knife. So what do you do with the knife? Halacha says, you go outside and you find hard ground, not loose mud. Hard ground, and you stick it in the ground 10 times. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara. And by doing that 10 times, you undo the power that the cheese that went into the, now it comes out. So from that, people had an assumption that what do? You bury it in the ground for a day. Okay. To be continued.